Hello, 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 and welcome to the March 13th edition of the Let's Play Podcast. This would be podcast edition number 112. We in honor of the annual meeting and the big announcements this week, we've gotten a special panel here today. So your host today is actually going to be the director emeritus. I knew I was getting that wrong. Of the Walt Disney Company, Roy E. Disney. That's myself, Doobie. Joining me on my left are the co-chair of Disney Media Networks, Ann Sweeney. Rebecca?
Ooh, cool.
The most powerful woman in entertainment.
Whoa, thank you for the upgrade.
On my right, being played by Captain John, is the studio chief for the Walt Disney Company, Dick Cook.
Hooray. Our next movie is going to be Boffo.
Hooray!
And across from me, of course, is the one who heads the whole shebang, former CEO Ron Miller.
He did go to UCLA.
He was a football player, wasn't he?
Yep.
Yeah. So this has been a huge week in Disney. One of our favorites. But I thought we'd get started with the biggest story of all, which was Katie Holmes and Disney bringing the imagination to life with their all-new Disney Dream Rooms. There's the Hannah Montana Hangout, the Cars Revved Up Room, the Princess Palace.
Did you say KB Holmes or Katie Holmes?
Which one's married to Tom Cruise?
That'd be KB Holmes.
Yeah, that would be the one. And the Pooh Corner Room. But we'll get to that later. First, podcast at liveinplace.com, 866-718-9408. Post a message on the discussion boards. Let us know which Disney Dream Room you would like in your home.
And, can mine be themed to Gergi?
I've seen your home. It already is. So let's get started with, I guess the actual big news was the annual meeting and to an even greater extent for us Disney fans, something called D23. Now, of course, Fanboy, as he has done since every year since 1923, attended this year's annual meeting. And
I remember when Evelyn Davis would go, "Mr. Disney, Mr. Disney," and would just ask Roy about Green Mail.
She was old back then, wasn't she?
Yeah. She was like Peter Graves, just always old.
Now, the biggest announcement for us people coming out of the annual meeting, we'll talk about the meeting in general in a second, but first let's start with the big news, something called D23. For the three people who listen to our podcast and haven't heard of D23, who wants to summarize it real quick?
Basically, it honors the 23rd anniversary of Flight of the Navigator.
Which was a favorite movie of Ann Sweeney's back before she took over Disney Media Network.
It launched the career of Sarah Jessica Parker.
From Matthew Roderick's wife.
Yes.
Look at me. I've been reading my E online, TNG. You know me.
Actually, I think that's going to be one of those special D23 Expo events, a special evening Jessica Parker.
I just realized Flight of the Navigator is one of the first Disney fan things I ever really participated in. If you were a Disney Channel subscriber and you sent something in, they'd send you Flight of the Navigator pins. And so I have a Flight of the Navigator pin that we sent in for.
Wow.
And,
that's like people still get freaky about Rex at the Hollywood studios.
Oh, totally.
Are you sure it's not about being the first six digits of pi?
So it's they're calling the official community for Disney fans.
That is the official name of it.
Right, because Christian Bale's prisoner number in The Prestige was 23.
Now, what Fanboy is reading is the, I guess, when
that's one of the lost numbers. Can't forget that.
That's actually on here. Also, David Beckham.
When they launched D23, the official community for Disney fans, they put up a letter from Stephen Clark, who is the head of D23. And he said this whole thing started.
Not to be confused with the head of Walt Disney, is Michael Eisner.
This started to be talked about in fan circles a few weeks ago, maybe even a couple months ago.
Months.
And so people were guessing what the 23 was. And of course,
because it started as just a very simple black and white poster that said, "Are you 23? And then Disney.com/23. But that URL wasn't active at the time that the posters first popped up. So it really left the door wide open as far as what is it? So
my favorite is it's the decision to give DCA restroom building a 23 street address when all neighboring addresses are factors of two.
Okay.
And that was an actual theory.
But in reality, it's a club for Disney fans. If you love all things Disney, then this is going to be the place for you.
Or even some, frankly.
Yeah, no, true enough.
Are you sure it's not like this guy says that he heard from a very reliable source that 23 is a DVC ownership partnership with Walt Disney Parks and Resorts? Because in reality, all teaser campaigns do tie into DVC, right?
Yeah, somewhere, some way.
They do sponsor D23. They have a little ad on the bottom of the website.
So, and it's a annual membership, and it's going to have a quarterly publication. That's what they say, 60-plus pages.
60 pages.
Which will be available as individual issues at Barnes & Noble if you'd rather purchase it that way rather than being in the club. And then there's also going to be merchandise available to people who are members of the club that feature, like, D23 logo and a special, like, for example, they have a T-shirt right now that says, Made for You and Me, and it's a sketch of Mickey Mouse's band leader from the Mickey Mouse Club opening. And then it has the D23 logo on it and a celebration of the inaugural launch.
And if you bought it on the first day, if you bought it on the 10th, you got it says launch day on the back of it.
Oh, very cool. And it also will include various other special events and opportunities that they haven't, you know, really gone into details of yet. And there's a special gift, which we don't know what that is yet. However, they
special.
Did say it is not a pin.
It is not a pin.
It is, I believe the quote was, something I'd be proud to have in my home.
Yes.
So yeah, I'm pretty sure it's just Nike.
Like my wife. So D23 consists of a website, disney.com/D23, a membership, which you don't have to be to go to the website,
right.
$79, say what, $79.99 a year plus tax.
$74.99. Yep.
Oh, I better go check my receipt from DisneyShopping.com.
And you get free shipping.
But you pay tax.
Unless you're international.
Well, it depends where you are, right?
I don't know.
That's a good question.
Pretty relevant. The magazine, which, as you said, is available individually, but it comes with your membership.
At Barnes & Noble and
Disney Shopping and Disney Theme Parks. And Disney Store.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Membership can be purchased at Disney Shopping and eventually at Disney Theme Parks and Disney Store.
Mm-hmm.
D23 also consists of Expo 23? No. Mm-hmm. D23 Expo.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay, which you can read more about at D23Expo.com, and that's an event in September and an annual event moving forward. This September is a four-day event showcasing all things Disney, and since this is a huge Disney endeavor, the keynote speakers are CEO Bob Iger, Disney Chief Studio Chief Dick Cook, played by Captain John, I believe. If I remember.
He's actually going to drive a train in.
John, I was going to say, we'll get to talk to him about his upcoming cameo in Race to Witch Mountain.
John Lasseter, the head of the Theme Parks and Resorts,
Jay Rizzullo.
Jay Rizzullo, that's it. And
Rich Ross
and
from Disney Channel Worldwide, and Bruce Vaughn, the head of WDI.
And they have not gone into detail. I mean, we know it's going to be huge, big, big stuff, but they haven't gone into real detail other than there will be a fashion show of couture and Disney bridal wear.
And
a wedding.
Yeah, a big wedding, he said.
Yeah, so we want to know.
Yeah, I don't know
who's getting married.
Well, I don't know if this is all public knowledge on the website, so but they're going to – the whole upper level – of the convention center is going to be a screening room. They're going to combine all those ballrooms, and they're going to show upcoming releases and going to have stars and Q&A and things like that. One whole ballroom is going to be just a giant store featuring products from around the company as well as exclusive merchandise for the expo. They're going to have a dream house that you can actually – a Disney house that you could just walk through. The arena is going to have live performances. So that's going to be like the real showcase.
And this is being held at the Anaheim Convention Center across the street from Disneyland.
Right.
As in the conference call that they had for various media outlets, Stephen Clark explained that they simply didn't have enough room in the theme park to do it. They wanted to, but ultimately they needed to go to the convention center.
Yeah, and Radio Disney is going to be broadcasting every day. So it really comes across like the Disney Comic Con.
Yeah, oh, totally.
You know, I mean, in that they're partnering with the Anaheim Convention and Visitor Bureau, so they're going to book, you know, basically NAM for Disney fans.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to have.
Do you think they'll start using this opportunity to make major announcements?
Yeah, I think this is the announcements that you've been hearing at Comic Con. I think they'll still, you know, NFFC and Comic Con, they'll still provide content for. But I think this is going to be the time when you go, okay, here's our new movie that, you know. Well, I guess that's a little bit harder.
Well,
but they'll probably announce new attractions and mm-hmm. maybe show trailers here.
Think about the timing. It's just before the beginning of their fiscal year because it's in mid-September. Just 2 weeks later is October 1st.
That explains the date. That's why they have so much budget for this because they have to make sure they use it so they have it for the next year.
Yeah, so it's all the burn-off. So hope that they're really fiscally conservative throughout the rest of the year so they can blow it out at D23.
Or if they have some overruns, you know where the cuts
are. Yeah, exactly. This year it's purely – usually we show you the field. This year just we're going to flip through the drawings. There you go.
It's time to learn. Remember those little arcade games they had at the Penny Arcade? Here is Tinkerbell and the Lost Treasure done this stuff.
Instead of Chris Berman, you're getting Trey Wingo.
Oh, I was thinking Colin Coward. So.
Ooh.
Much better.
Cable Ace Award winning.
Did you know?
But anyway, to give you some idea, the arena at the convention center holds 5,000 people. So that gives you an idea of the scope of it.
And this is a four-day event in September. And, again, it's not open to members only, although members do get a discount. And this is priced for everybody. Yeah. I mean, the price is in the neighborhood of $30 a day.
So. Yeah, I think it's $35 if you're not a member, and then it drops to $30 if you are a member.
A four-day pass is $90 for a member and $111-something. And they're also – the whole expo hall is going to have – booths from different divisions of the company, as well as individuals and other Disney affinity groups showcasing their wares. So,
do you know, is this just showing stuff, or is this selling
stuff?
No,
they're allowed. Yeah, there's going to be a collector's forum where fans can buy, sell, and trade Disney collectibles, as well as a huge pin trading center.
So that's the place to go get your cast member name badges, right?
That's good. They must, yeah. You want a Fantasmic jacket?
Mickey costume?
Or you could or you could be like that one cast member I heard of who saw the person who had taken their cast appreciation pin, selling it, and took it back. Just kind of palmed it off the table. I remember that person. They grabbed it off my badge.
They But that's actually one good point, is that D23 members do get in an hour early at 8. So if you know there's some massive collectible that you need.
Totally.
That probably is an advantage. And it's going to be the expo is going to be from 9 to 5, but they're also going to do evening events as well.
Dolly Parton going to be there?
She's going to be part of the Hannah Montana panel discussion.
Oh, very good.
Woo.
So you can find out all about D23 at disney.com/D23. So,
how convenient.
Do they have D23.com?
No, they don't.
D23.
I checked.
And
they spent all their money on that three-letter BMK domain.
It's D23 and not D23.
It's D23.
Yeah, oh, D23.
You got to make D, the number 2-3,
right,
is the club. Disney 23, TWENTY-THREE is the magazine. I know some lesser people might get that confused. But,
in all our joking, who wants to say what the 23 actually does stand for?
The founding of the company?
Yes.
Good enough.
Yeah, it's the year that the brothers showed up in California and started their Alice comedies. And
with $40 and a mule?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So I'm excited about it. I have to admit, I haven't been. Over the past few months when the rumors first started to leak out that it was going to be a club for Disney fans and whatever, I was kind of, you know, I wasn't really sure. Because recently I found a lot of this stuff is really highly priced for stuff I'm not that interested in, like the Haunted Mansion events. The first year we went, it was, you know, under $100, and it was a lengthy panel discussion and entertainment and a ride and whatever. And then over the years it evolved to the point where it's pretty much just an opportunity to buy more merchandise with minimal event. It was mostly an opportunity to buy more, and I kind of was thinking that that's what this was going to be, because it kept being mentioned to me as the words I kept hearing were, what was it, customer
relation management?
CRM.
Yeah. And
creating relationship magic.
Yeah, it was that kind of...
That's not the industry standard for that. Normally, it's customer relationship magic.
Yeah.
Customer relationship management.
But it was that kind of focus, and so I just saw it as, okay, so I'm going to, in essence, pay to join a club where I'll earn points if I spend money. And I kind of was envisioning more of that in that way, or with really high-end events. And so I was surprised... Unlike many, I was actually surprised by the $75 annual. Not that that's cheap by any stretch,
no.
But I was actually surprised by the price, because the rumors that have been getting back to me were quite more than that.
Well, and as you know, I stalk Bob Iger, and you know, he's been talking about this for a while. He talked about it at the last meeting. You just didn't realize it until you go to this meeting and realize he mentioned dropping
it. Did he talk about it other than in response to that question at the last meeting?
Maybe he had to be there, but he definitely said, you know, oh, we have a relationship, and then he paused, and then he's like, with Disney clubs, and you could tell that he was talking about it. But you know, most recently at the Credit Suisse Entertainment Conference, he talked about, you know, it's not the goal. He wants to create a place where people who consume Disney fans, can feel like they're attached to the company. This isn't Disney Anna. This isn't a Haunted Mansion event where it's an excuse to sell merchandise. And I mean, I'm not complaining. I mean, that's what these were.
Yeah,
but
exactly.
This is, you know, you can debate the price point, and that's a fair debate. But this isn't Disney lining their coffers. This is Disney trying to pay off having a really expensive magazine and, you know, unknown collectible gift that's not going to be cheap either.
And it is an opportunity for them to market to us. I mean, don't get me wrong. I know the magazine's not going to be an in-depth look at all things.
No. No advertising in the magazine.
Well, okay, but it's just, it's like saying that there's no advertising on, well, back in the day on the Christmas special when it was, you know, everything, it was all Disney, you know, the whole time. And in essence, it was marketing.
Sure.
So it's advertising.
It was advertising themselves.
Yeah, but in a different way. And, and I'm comfortable with that. And I understand many who aren't, but, you know.
Well, and it's, you know, you talk about it. It's past, present, and future is the way they're marketing
it. So cool.
And so, you know, they're gonna talk about where the company is. They're going to show you clips from the stuff but from the future. They're also going to look back at the past. I mean, in the sort of launch of the website, there's so much, you know, that you're thinking about and looking into. But if you actually go to the features website, I mean, you got a story about John Lausenberg, one of the Nine Old Men. You know, an interview with
Dean Jones,
Dick Jones.
Oh, and Dean Jones
and
was
Dean
on there. I saw
and
the
Davy Jones. And,
the Devil and Mrs.
Jim Jones. It's...
Hey, ESPN's getting ready to do a movie about his grandson.
Yeah, I saw that.
Yeah, okay.
But,
sorry, go ahead.
And as well as High School Musical 4, and what I understand is one of the most popular parts of this fan site so far, is a picture of Zac Efron and Vanessa Hudgens.
Oh, another Annie Leibovitz picture?
Which actually, a different fan site from us and D23 got an advanced copy of the magazine and posted it and crashed their server.
Oh, wow.
So that's what, you know, you look at, and then they have the Twilight Bark thing, which I think is cool. I mean, it's not going to be new things to us, but if you're just looking like, hey, you know, what's happened in the last couple days at Disney? That's a good reminder. I mean, I looked at it today preparing for the convention, I mean, for that podcast, going like, oh, well, you know, what are we going to talk about? Oh, here's what Disney did this week.
Mm-hmm. I mean, they have a nice upcoming event section, too.
Yeah. And, you know, it's
– and all of this is available to anybody. You don't have to be a member to appreciate this.
And it's not in a way that cuts out the fan sites. Right. Obviously, that's, you know, being a part of Laughing Place, you know, you would think about. But it's obviously a different vein. I look at it like the Star Wars fan club. You obviously go to StarWars.com for something and they have a fan sites section of it. But there's also the Force.net. And, I mean –
Right.
I'm not that big of a Star Wars fan, but this has been something I've been trying to push the company to do for a long time, and I'm glad they finally listened to me.
The thing that turned the corner for me was the conference call that they provided to the media outlets, and I learned more about who's involved.
Right.
And the people who are involved in this project, Stephen Clark, I was fortunate enough to be able to work with him in a kind of a cursory way through the NFFC. I used to do volunteer work with the NFFC. And the conventions that he helped out with, I know that he was really an integral part of bringing some amazing content and experiences to the NFFC conventions over the past couple of years. And so knowing kind of the types of things that he sought out to share with the fans through the NFFC convention, and then knowing Dave Smith, who's always at the Disney fan events, always supporting everybody, and then hearing that John Lasseter's in it, and him, I know,
one of the Nine Old Men.
that John Lasseter's, you know, excited about this, and how much he, you know, with the passion that he has for the company, knowing that'll be in it, and Dick Cook, who's you know, kind of been in the company since, you know, his young days.
Yeah, I would say the corporate ambassador to the company.
Yeah, and then they talked about, you know, kind of like, and then we have the grand old man, Marty Sklar, is also going to be a part of this, and he's going to be able to share his unique insights. It just seemed like, I don't know, it seemed like the kind of a perfect storm as far as who was involved, those who have the passion and understand the fans, and then those who have the knowledge and the desire to share it. Because in all honesty, you know, in some ways you wonder, what does the Walt Disney Imagineering ambassador do? Oh, well, you know, this seems like a perfect role for Marty. Yeah.
You know, now that he's got off Harbor Boulevard, he can share great things with us. But, and that's, you know, because I knew they were, I mean, I'd known for probably 2 months that it's a fan club, and I knew that. But I didn't know, until you really see it, what it was going to look like. And unfortunately, at the shareholder meeting, the servers crashed, so I couldn't look at the website. So, but then I started talking to Stephen Clark, who I knew, you know, from prior involvement with the company. And, you know, he's talking about it, and you can see just the enthusiasm. And then I start talking to some other folks that were there from D23, and you can just see it in their eyes that they're really passionate. And then I, you know, trying to be the fancy business guy, go like, oh, well, you know, it's you know, this is going to provide great returns for the company. I mean, it's really going to get the engage the guests, our fans, and you know, and make them have a greater affinity for the for Disney.
Yeah.
And he says, yeah, but it's going to be a lot of fun for all of us too. And I'm like, okay, you know, because it's a pet project, and that's what's going to make it good. It's something he wants to do. You know, I mean, if you look at his past, he was in charge of the opening of, he was in part of the opening of the Indiana Jones attraction, the opening of Festival of the Lion King. He knows how to do these great Disney events that would you consider the height of Disneyland by many people, at least in the 90s.
Yeah.
You know, before the downturn. And so he definitely has the experience to pull it off. And he has, you know, talking to him, he has a wide vision of the company. Because mm-hmm. I think what's nice about it, because it's so huge, they can do something that's for Disney Channel fans that might not appeal to someone
right.
like Doobie. Or they might do something for ESPN, which might not appeal to a lot of people. Mm-hmm. But because it has the volume, they can do something for everyone. You don't need to partake of every piece of it, but it will have something for you as a Disney fan.
It's very interesting that it was birthed out of the archives, because archives are the people who have to, in essence, stay on top of all things that are happening within the company, because they're the ones who keep the historical record. And so I find it really interesting that, in essence, the fan club is being filtered through the people who would have that kind of broad vision. I think in some ways they would best know kind of what are the landmark moments and what are the ones that can just be avoided.
You know, Steven told me that they were going to look at hiring like a marketing company or something to do that, you know, to come up with the images and things. And he's like, why are we doing that? We know what Disney fans like. We know what we would want to see. We can just do it ourselves. And I think that says us a lot, because there's a tendency to be like, okay, well, we need a consultant to figure out what the market is. And that it's not – this isn't that well thought out. I mean, it's just going with your gut, and that's what fan clubs should be.
So it'll be really interesting to see.
Captain, are you excited about D23?
It seems like it'll be fun. I'm looking forward to the whole convention aspect. It just seems like a nice way to bring people together. You know, just
so here
sounds
are the
very
questions.
Nifty.
Here are the questions I have for the panel.
For the panel.
Popcorn churro style.
Popcorn churros.
First question.
UAC D23.
First question. As you understand the concept of what D23 will be, is this great for Disney fans, Rebecca?
Wait, so popcorn or
this
churro?
This is a modified popcorn or churro.
Great or not? Yeah.
It's popcorn or churro, but the question is it great? But if you don't have a simple yes or no, it's okay to expound.
I believe it's great for Disney fans because it will provide an opportunity for them to get together and to celebrate all things Disney, which I would like to do. I mean, I'm able to do it a bit through the website, and in part that's why we created the website, was to kind of, you know, to provide that place that you can be safe when you love Disney. And I like that idea that there's going to be a place where I can be safe to just be a fanatical Disney freak for a weekend. And I'm looking forward to the magazine. I miss Disney Magazine. I always wished it could be more, and it seemed like maybe based upon the images I've seen, because I haven't seen the magazine yet, it seems like this will be that more that I want. Not a Tales. Tales is a different type of magazine. It's more in-depth and more nitty-gritty. But, you know, it's still a behind-the-scenes look. But I'm also there's also a little bit of nervousness in that the fan sites and the fan clubs that already exist have a very special place, and they've provided a lot they've developed really strong relationships with the Disney company, even including ourselves in this. And so there's a bit of a fear that, well, now that they've created this, kind of where will that leave us? Will this become the way they wish to communicate with the fans, or will they still continue to communicate with the fans through the other outlets that are already out there as well?
Fan?
I think it is great. But I think what's even greater is the fact that it's a sign that the company values Disney fans. And that, you know, Disney fans say a lot of stupid things. And, you know, we all do. We all have opinions and we filter it. And there's probably a tendency for anybody when you get criticized and when you're trying hard to just shut them out and just say, well, I don't need you, because Disney doesn't need the fans. But to know that to see that the company sees the value of the Disney fans by putting a lot – I mean, it can't be cheap to book out the entire Anaheim Convention Center and do all the things they're doing. says a lot about they wouldn't have done this 5 years ago.
Captain?
Ditto to everything fanboy said.
Okay. Next question.
Next question.
Okay, I'll give my answer. I use the word great intentionally to challenge myself to actually come down on a side, because there's no question this will be good for Disney fans. I'm not so convinced this will be great for Disney
fans. Well, I think it's honestly a bit hard to judge right now just because it hasn't quite evolved into it yet. But I think my hunch would definitely be great.
I agree with you that it's not all there yet, so it's hard to tell. But I have faith. Now, knowing who's involved gives me greater faith. If I didn't know who was behind this, I would probably say it's just good.
You know, given – I have no doubt that the Expo mm-hmm. will be great for Disney fans, so that alone makes this whole effort great. Taking that away, I'm not nearly as sure, but I have no doubt that that's going to be an amazing event, and therefore D23 will be great for Disney fans.
Yeah, I think that's really – if you take that away, it's hard to say because right now it's very – I mean, it's a website and a magazine that a lot of people haven't seen yet, so it's hard to say at that point.
Next question. Will D23 be great for the Walt Disney Company?
That's a lot harder. I think it has to be. I think you're in an environment where people tend to become more impassioned about their products because there's more variety out there. So you have to really stick out. You can't just throw mud up in the sky and hope it sticks. You have to have a product that people have affinity for, a lost kind of product where people are really excited, Dancing with the Stars, because otherwise people just – there's so many options out there that it just ends up getting lost. So Disney, in the same way Apple benefited from Macworld when they really created fans. Now, I'm not saying people don't criticize, their fans don't criticize them, but you're still creating passion. And one thing I've learned was that people might disagree on message boards and everything like that, but if you actually force the fans to listen to you speak about a product you're making, and if you honestly believe the product is great, you will convince more than not that it's great. I mean, if you look at the people that went to NFFC presentations about DCA and then compared those to people who didn't go to presentations about DCA, people who went to the presentations, no one's saying DCA is the best theme park in the world, but they definitely were more defensive of DCA than the people who didn't go.
Captain, do you think this project will be great for the Walt Disney Company?
I really just don't know.
It is a tough question. I understand.
Yeah, I just don't know.
I have a hard time trying to figure out who will want it in the same way that I do, in that I don't know very many Disney fans out there who are as interested in everything the company does in the same way that the four who are gathered around this table. For example, we went to ESPN the weekend because it's ESPN and that's a Disney brand and we like sports, and we ended up, kind of doing that. And then the Joe Bro concert. And we have tickets to the Yanni Voices because,
Don't admit that.
No, but I just say it. It's like I look at when they talk about the Expo, they talk about, in essence, everything from ESPN to Disney Channel to Disney consumer products to what. And I mean, and for me, this is like, woohoo! Yeah. I'm like Nirvana. But I just don't know how many other – I don't know how many other Disney fans really care that much beyond whatever they're – I know, people are passionate about Disneyland, and they really aren't all that interested in anything going on at Walt Disney World, or vice versa, or past versus present, or present versus future. So I'll be very interested to see how many people – is each element of it able to pull in enough people to support the massive size of the undergoing?
I have 2 points on that. One is I think the Disney fans that were around when DCA opened are a lot different than the Disney fans who are in – college or just graduating college now. I think they definitely have a more broader view of the company than the NFFC contingent, which sort of, once you got past the 60s was sort of done. Because they're there's a difference between trying to relive your childhood and enjoying the current product. The company's really evolved in that, they're making movies now that appeal to people who aren't kids. you know, I'm not saying, you know, I'm not talking Walt era, but no one was going, woohoo, Rocket Man. you know, but you're making movies like National Treasure and Pirates of the Caribbean, which definitely have a broader base appeal. I'm not saying I particularly enjoyed Pirates of the Caribbean, but they do have a broader base appeal. So I think what Disney's trying to do is say, hey, we're the Walt Disney Company. What you love about Disney, our focus on creativity, our technology, on giving you the best product, is around in all of our businesses. Disney Channel, while you might not like Hannah Montana, they still try and make the best product they can. And I work with a lot of 20-something Disney fans in my other job, and they love all parts of it. Maybe not – I mean, ESPN being a little bit of a different animal.
I think
there's probably more Disney fans that watch Lost and see the connection than you probably realize, as the internet has really made everyone realize that it is one company. My other point on that, though, I think that's where the scale comes into it. If you can have 6,000 people and only 200 people go to see Chris Berman talk about ESPN, I'm not saying he's going to be there, but just
– Right, yeah.
That it's okay because you still got 200 exactly. people. It's not like an NFFC convention where there's only, let's say, 200. I'm not sure, but let's pick that number out of my hat. You know, then you can't have 1/100th of them go and that be a significant number.
Right, exactly.
To answer the question myself, I don't know what Disney wants out of this. But presuming they want what they want out of every aspect of their business is for ultimately, not necessarily this on its own to make money, but for it to contribute to the profit of the Walt Disney Company, my hunch is no. But that's just a hunch.
And I think – and that's where I don't know. I think
– Well, that brings me into my –
I mean, how do you – you can't monetize it. So this is – in the same way you can't monetize saying Disney donating $1 million to Make-A-Wish, how does that affect Disney's bottom line?
But in a way you can, because just with the example that you brought out, if Disney's paying attention and in that they see that the Disney fans who attended those NFFC presentations or whatever presentations they had available – for me it was a presentation at a club called Once Upon a Classic mm-hmm. or Once Upon a Collector's. I don't remember. Once Upon a Classic.
Yeah.
They had a presentation about DCA, and that really – two of them actually. Tim Delaney came, and one of the marketing – the people who was in charge of, like, shops and stuff came and talked. And those really kind of changed my mind about DCA because up until then, the stuff I'd been hearing was a very different, you know, tone. And if Disney saw the difference between those who had been pre-exposed and those who hadn't, well, that's obvious money right there.
No, I agree with you, but how do you monetize it? I can say the buzz has changed.
Right,
I believe the buzz will be positive coming out of these things.
I don't know how you monetize it, but ultimately someone in Disney, assuming they treat this like giving $1 million, ultimately someone in Disney is deciding how much to put into this, how much to donate to Make-A-Wish for the better of the company.
No, I
agree. And so the question is, will they decide this is worth it or not?
Well, I don't know, but I think it's one of those things like donating to Make-A-Wish where you don't say, hey – you know, here's the sandbox you can play in. Here's the appropriate amount of money for what you're trying to do. But you're never going to be able to look at a return on investment. And, you know, Bob has said you can't run the company through spreadsheets. You know, it's like, you know, it's basically they're running their own Comic-Con. They, you know, how much – bringing the whole cast of Lost to Comic-Con or something is not cheap either.
Right.
But, you know, it develops buzz. They're going to look at the buzz and hopefully if – you know. What it tells me is they're pretty confident in their own product.
Yeah, totally.
If they're, you know, they're going to screen the movie better be good. Otherwise, it's going to get bad buzz.
Well, that kind of goes into my last question on this P or C style sorta.
In that it's a question.
Pretty much, yeah.
In 2 years, and obviously everything evolves, but in 2 years, will we look at D23 and say, wow, that was successful, or something? I'm not saying it will be unsuccessful, but we won't be able to enthusiastically say, wow, that was successful.
I have a question. There's successful for me as a guest or successful for the Walt Disney Company?
To where the company says this was a great thing that we did. This is a success. By whatever term they want to use.
Or just good.
By whatever term they want to use.
Because there's a difference between, wow, this went gangbusters
further. Good enough to where we don't need to scale it back. We're certainly going to keep going in the same vein, keep trying to make it better. The enthusiasm they have today is pretty much the enthusiasm they have 2 years from now.
Right. I think they will say yes. And I think the big thing you need to remember is the people listening to the podcast is not necessarily – is part of the target market, but is not all the target market.
Right.
There's – a lot of folks who $75 is not a big deal, who are Disney fans and that they like going to the parks, who will join this because they think it's cool. And, you know, that's what, the whole reason The View was on the studio lot was to get, you know, they knew the fan sites were going to cover it, but was to get mom and pop to say, oh, I like Disney. I'm going to join and get, you know, occasionally see what they're up to and consume their product more.
Rebecca, in 2 years, that's the way I want to phrase it. Yeah. Will the company be as enthusiastic about D23 as they are today?
I am so very torn on that. I've talked to a lot of fans who aren't I don't know if it's because of their previous experiences with the, you know, Magic Kingdom Club that went away and the Disney magazine that went away and the Disney News that became the Disney magazine, or, you know, just the various things that they've been involved with and the various, honestly, Disney fan publications that have gone away.
Yeah, Stephen Clark's Child.
So, you know, just, I mean, so unfortunately, there's just this long track record of kind of getting invested in a organization that's Disney oriented, and only to have it kind of either disappear or change dramatically and no longer be the place for you. So it's hard for me to go. But I guess my thought was, Stephen in the call mentioned that, you know, pretty much for the next 4 years, the expo would be in Anaheim. And then maybe it would move to Florida from there or other locations, you know, after that point. But at least for the next 4 years, it's locked into Anaheim. And I thought, wow, 4 years. So they're thinking 4 years from now, they're still going to be doing this. Yeah. So, you know, so that was good to hear. And do I think that it will still have – I want to say yes, because I know for me, what I've read so far, I hope so. But I just don't know if there's the support there for the type of economic return that I'm so used to the Disney company needing to keep things going upon the closure of Disneyland conventions. You know, there's just such a track record.
Different, though, is that this is not – the reason Disneyland has stopped was because Disney could not afford paying the other divisions of Disney to put on the convention. They couldn't afford the food anymore, the ballrooms. This is run – this is not to make money.
I guess I'll believe that when I see it.
Right, and I get it. And it's hard when you start charging people and saying, we're not here to make money.
Right.
And I get that. And that's why I think the make or break on this is going to be two things. If the D23 Expo, if that's kick butt and everyone goes, you should have gone.
Right.
Like everyone, you know, I mean, I don't read comic books, but every year I say I should have gone to Comic-Con.
Oh, totally, yeah.
And the amount of events, say smaller events they have through the year for the members, I think that's going to be key.
Mm-hmm. I think in two years, that's our time frame.
Two years.
I think it will be considered a success for 2 years. Once you get past that, I don't necessarily know if it'll. I don't think it'll necessarily have momentum.
Momentum, yeah.
I think 2 years we're safe.
Okay.
I think
it's a very interesting time to launch a fan club. I mean, you and I were talking about it. I think fan clubs are kind of a thing of the past in a way. So it's an interesting time to launch it. Now, not an interesting time to launch an expo. Those kinds of things are really building.
It all has to do with just, as a fanboy said, the events that they hold.
Yeah.
And that's what makes me nervous. As we look at how difficult it is, perhaps with their own I hate to say the word, but ineptitude to do those merchandise events.
Yeah.
You know, the registration is always a mess. And I'm worried that when you have an event that Disney has never had an event this big. I mean, the opening of the theme parks were not this big. And the fact that they don't mess it up at first, you know, I mean, I like the team, and so I hope they don't, and I've got faith in them.
Right.
But
they just need to make sure that
Denny
Newell.
You've got to make sure that they have all their ducks in a row.
Expectations.
Gotta have Denny Newell.
Expectations.
Oh, yeah. Well, for $1 million, you can do.
Gotta have Denny
Expectations
Newell.
Will be ultra, ultra
oh, totally.
High, as they should be for Disney and something like this. My answer is really hard because I truly don't know. I'd be flipping a coin. But what I can say is they better be as enthusiastic about it in 2 years as they are right now, because they are going after the fans right now, and especially in this internet age, the fans have a huge voice, and they're making promises right now, and they've made promises before and not always
Disney
lived up
yearbook.
To them, like Disney Yearbook and the merchandise events and even annual pass holder events, which is kind of falling
electrical
by the wayside.
Parade.
And they've made promises before, and I know this is a whole different group of people, and I have confidence in these people. I know Stephen Clark somewhat as well.
Yeah.
So all I got to say is, They can't make these promises again and not deliver.
Well, I think there's one thing that makes it makes me more confident in that, because quite frankly, if they just launched it and I didn't know this, I would be like, okay, how many half a years is this going to run? And I, because I'm going to get a, my family fund subscription is going to be through 2030.
But oh, BMK, is, that's another one. BMK.
But this is coming from Bob, and Bob is very passionate about it. And when Bob is very passionate about something, they're not quick to drop. You know, it's Bob. It's they're not going to be quick to drop it, as opposed to Disney Yearbook, which was just sort of like Disney.com's attempt to, I guess, run through the rest of the Disney magazine articles that never got published or something like that.
So, well, the thing is, there's so many factors though, because it's a fan club. You know, you're. It's kind of like a semi. You know, it's a marketing kind of thing. So, not only does it depend on what the product itself is, but also what they're trying to market. You know, the fans have to be interested in the kind of direction at that time. Content. Not just about the fan club itself. You know,
very true. The content's got to be good.
Yeah, there's so many things that you know that can make
and
it great.
I guess that comes back. The movies they're screening better be good, otherwise.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah, I don't know. What's the buzz when you do a wonderful screening of a bad movie? How does the buzz come out of that?
That's when it comes. I think comes if you have the director, the movie instantly goes up a star.
Right. One thing you did mention, the fact that Bob Iger is involved, I know that does go a long way when you have people at the top involved. And the thing that drives that home to me with Disney is the fact that they still serve ice cream from Bakersfield.
Yeah, right.
At the studio soda fountain and studio store.
Yep.
And but as a Disney fan, and I know I'm corporate boy, but it does mean a lot that Bob is going to be a keynote. I think that's – you know, he's obviously not the most starch-free executive we've ever had. But, you know, the fact that he's showing – that because, a lot, like, you know, NFFC, you know, they'll have chairmen and things like that. But this is the first time he's saying, I'm here for – you know, this is important to me that I'm coming, because how many – Bob Iger doesn't even go to attraction openings all half the time.
I have an idea for how to ensure a sellout of D23 Expo.
The trash can?
Michael D. Eisner dunking booth.
There you go.
Well, you know, I've been reading a lot about my my take on Bob Iger's vision for the company, and a lot of people seem to want him back.
Who would have thunk?
I know. Goodbye, Bob. Bring back Michael.
Yeah, if you're not reading Fanboy's blog on laughingplace.com, I mean, here you see his nice jovial side, but he's been sparking some controversy lately, so it's been fun. So we've just spent 45 minutes talking about D23. I think there was a few other things talked about at the annual meeting.
Yeah, path to 9/11.
And Disney getting the March Madness.
Yeah, which was new to me.
So, as I said, Fanboy has been to every annual meeting since 1823.
Which is why I am excited that Bob Iger said that they will announce where the location and date of the meeting is before the proxy comes out.
I remember that question.
Great.
Is this something they've not thought of before?
I don't know. The way they looked at it, because Bob, I mean, I was, you know, I'm guessing you didn't get the whole story from the audio, but Bob Iger kind of looks up in the air like he's thinking, and then he looks at John Pepper and he goes, I don't see why not.
Well, don't you think, I mean, honestly, in corporate worlds, don't they kind of just get locked into, okay, this is where we've been doing it? They don't really have any reason to particularly question it.
No.
Really?
But I think it's funny that the day after the meeting, they announce that they're going to be announcing their Q2 earnings May 5th. Like, as soon as they're like, oh, we have the date already. Here you go.
Yep.
That's funny.
Because I just don't think you probably don't normally – I don't think they expect people to travel. I mean, they do, but I think they just figured –
because they don't realize who they are.
Yeah.
Did you take anything out of the fact that he tossed out – he said, you know, south of France, but everybody, ha, 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 ha. And then he said Hawaii. And everybody, ha, 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 ha. And I was like,
I know,
Hawaii.
Me too.
Hawaii. Let me think about that.
I'm thinking, south of France, the next Disney.
I don't know.
Oh, see, I took that as totally a joke. Next one, I wasn't so sure.
Well, I remember during the Michael Eisner era when we were pretty sure the next one was going to be in Juneau, Alaska.
Yeah, exactly. He tried. He had
By the way, it was – I had never known Oakland could get that cold. Every year – They could do the thing in the equator, and it will still be cold the day of the annual meeting, including the year they did it in the ice rink at the pond, and they just put the floor on top of the ice. So,
I know this is the first time in quite some time that Disney has had a meeting in a severe economic, not depression, but with major
recession.
Economic issues in the country. Mm-hmm. Recession, sure. How did that flavor the meeting?
Surprisingly, it didn't. I mean, they acknowledged it. But you didn't feel like, okay, now they're cheaping out the meeting or anything like that. And they didn't spend a lot of time talking about it, which, you know, it's funny because the Dow was up close to 400 points. And
the D23 announcement.
Yeah, actually, absolutely.
Yeah. That's what I emailed off to you guys. I know Jimmy didn't read it, but Fanboy did. I was like, Dow Jones soars. Somebody likes the news of D23.
And today, the Dow didn't lose those losses. I mean, didn't lose those gains.
Okay.
So I'm kind of like, woohoo, it's over. I mean, I'm sure it's not, but you know,
Fanboy the optimist.
It was funny because I was watching CNBC while I was in Oakland.
Of course.
And they were like, when's it going to hit bottom? When's it going to hit bottom? And he's like, you know what? I just got a feeling that, you know, we're going to start seeing gains. It's not going to go back to the levels that it was before, but, you know, there's only so people are getting tired of selling.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, no, I'm all for that because, quite frankly, it was like Disney was down 5 days in a row or something like that. So it was sort of refreshing not to hear about it because, you know, you trust that they're going to, you know, take care of what they need to do to manage in bad times. But that's not why you go to the meeting. You want to know where the vision for the company, despite the bad times. You know, then they talked a little bit about the layoffs and 50 executives took the package. And
at Disney World.
But they didn't talk a lot about cost containment or anything. I mean, they're doing that. You've seen the press releases. But they talked about, hey, we're still making Up. We're still making Princess and the Frog.
And whenever they did talk about any kind of response to the economic times, they always couched it in terms of we don't want to lose our edge with our customer service or our edge with the fact that we're known for good quality. I mean, those were the key points that I noticed. It was always about, you know, we have this brand that has value, and yes, it is a tough economic time, but we do not wish to devalue our brand.
I think and I know it's not Disney branded, but where you see that most evident, because you're probably not going to notice that at the parks as much. You know, obviously they're not closing attractions, but you're not going, gee, they stopped, you know, they cut costs here. But
sounds dangerous.
I noticed at Beaches and Cream, we don't get pickles anymore.
Well, the O&O stations, the news stations, every day I open up the Orlando Sentinel, someone got fired from the CBS or affiliate or something like that. They are committed to keeping not cutting from the local news channels because they feel that that's such a strong brand that if you cut that, you're really affecting a strong performer. And there's actually opportunity to pick up share by keeping your quality high. And I think that's something that they're saying throughout the company is, yeah, we might not be investing in as many things. We might not be looking so much towards new growth initiatives and things like that. But what we're still going to make sure it's a quality product, which is why it's exciting to have D23. Because I was in the doldrums, man. I mean, with hitting a new 52-week low every day is just depressing. But, you know, and there wasn't anything announced. You know, there's not a lot of new capital projects, and that's fair enough. But, you know, with D23, it gives me a reason to look forward to – there's something to look forward to every day.
Now, this was asked at the meeting, and I'm curious to your take on it, Fanboy. And, of course, Iger wasn't going to comment on it, and that is the fact that the SeaWorld theme parks are going to be sold off.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think that there's any growth potential there for Disney? Should Disney be even considering purchasing those?
I mean, there's growth potential. You got to look at the cost and see.
Right.
If it's low enough, buy them and shut them down. I mean,
I understand.
There's obviously
Mickey Mouse killed Shamu. That'll go over.
No, free Shamu. Mickey Mouse free Shamu.
I guess that's better.
Yeah. I have no doubt that Disney will make a bid if it's just to make the other people have to bid higher.
Right.
I know
the talk in the air.
That's normal. Yeah. That's what you do. But
yeah.
Not on eBay. That gets the rules.
And, you know, there was talk about Universal.
Yeah.
Doing when they were in trouble, Disney purchasing them. And I'm kind of torn on that from a guest perspective in that, yeah, it'd be neat to have more Disney stuff. But how do you fix it and make it Disney and not, you know, have to shut it down for a year and lose all the money or investment? So I don't think
– See, and I like the competition. I like the fact that there's somebody up the road who you have to battle to keep people in your park.
You know, the Orlando Sentinel put up a stupid point but a good idea in that if Universal and SeaWorld merged, unlike what the Orlando Sentinel says, they're not going to, you know, be a threat to Disney. But they'll have there's obviously probably going to be efficiencies there,
right,
in terms of, you know, back of house stuff. And it also kind of creates a second brand there. I mean, and so I think that would be a good move for them if they have the capital. But right now there's no money. Anheuser-Busch is the InBev, or AB InBev or whatever they're called. They're really hurting. So it's a fire sale.
Right.
But there's also not a lot of credit out there. So to get financing. So Disney might just end up with it because no one else wants to buy it. But I doubt it.
Yeah.
I have a question for the captain. There was one other bit of news to come out of this other than D23. Do you look forward to captaining the Disney Fantasy and the Disney Dream?
Now, I think the nautical term would be commandeer.
Seriously?
Yes.
Doesn't that mean steal?
Yes. He's a pirate.
Oh, you're a pirate.
Yes. Yes.
No doy. So anyway, what do you think of the two new Disney ships? Names.
Fantasy and Dream.
Fantasy
not secret
and
like
Dream.
You thought.
Dream, is that really a surprise?
No,
not really.
No,
not really.
Fantasy was a surprise
fantasy,
to me.
Fantasy is nice. It's classy.
I'm surprised you didn't get Disney Celebration.
Yeah, exactly.
Disney Dream, that not a surprise at all.
I was surprised by Fantasy, I have to admit.
Fantasy.
Is it spelled?
Did anybody say Fantasy? Because I know, like, way back, we were just, like, settled.
I think someone said it at one point, because the name didn't shock me, but.
I was surprised that they went with it, just because fantasy can have a connotation that's provocative in the modern age.
This
so
is
I was
not
kind of surprised.
It
out.
Is a different kind of ship. Touchstone brand.
Exactly.
The Touchstone Fantasy.
But both Disney, they both sound like Carnival cruise ships.
I believe that they both are Carnival cruise ship names, by the way.
Carnival also is about to name a ship the Dream.
Yeah.
Apparently there's not, they need that machine
Carnival is about
the
Wonder,
magic. The magic.
Magic.
That machine that creates Disney titles. They do have firework cruises when they sail on Thursdays, Saturdays.
That was so funny. What our captain was telling us how the Disney kind of alters their course because the other cruise lines try and mooch off the fireworks.
Okay, so there's a Carnival Fantasy, and I don't see a Carnival Wonder.
Okay.
But there is, in the future, under the Dream class of ship, going to be a Carnival Dream. And a Carnival Magic.
That's sad.
Captain, I was going to also ask you, apparently, I don't know if the image has leaked out online yet or not, but in the opening montage at the shareholders meeting, apparently there was an image of Johnny Depp as the Mad Hatter.
Well, images have been leaked out before, though I haven't seen what you are referring to, so I don't know. The other ones have been like confirmed.
There
as being
was more.
True.
There was a lot of Alice. I know I've seen images, but there was a lot more than what I've seen.
Okay.
Not necessarily maybe the Mad Hatter, but like Alice herself. Also, something I was new to me. I knew the movie was being made, but you know, with the way things are,
right?
Sorcerer's Apprentice movie.
Oh,
they actually showed a clip of that.
Oh, very cool.
Stars Nick Cage, right?
Right.
Yeah.
So I.
What'd you think?
Well, I mean, it was.
Well, but still, get a gut reaction.
It looked good. I mean, I'm not a big Nick Cage fan, except in Disney movies. So,
he's the son of Francis Ford Coppola, right?
Nephew, I believe.
Ah, man, that TMZ fails me again. Okay.
Should have used Us Weekly. They used to be owned by Disney.
I checked Discover Magazine.
What other
family fun?
Any other fun tidbits in that opening montage that we got to hear really really bad renditions of Disney music play while you were enjoying that?
Jonas, some images from Jonas that I hadn't seen before. I don't watch a lot of, I don't watch as much Disney Channel as others, but it was new to me. Otherwise, no, not really.
Okay.
Cool.
So there we have it.
I believe they showed you an Up trailer.
Yes.
Was it the same one that's been released?
It was the same one that's on the internet. However, it was interesting because, I mean, Grant, it's not a typical audience. It's a very specific audience. But all except one guy, really was laughing really hard at Up, and really they got a great round of applause, and to the point Bob even mentioned, like, it's great when you show that and people like it.
We could hear that coming out. Yeah. They brought it back soon enough, we could hear a huge laugh.
And
we
and
heard
the
a lot of
the
laughter
Frog
with
got
Princess
it good,
and Frog, yeah.
And that was actually good, too. I mean, it was...
Yeah?
I really liked the clip. It was you know, remember Beauty and the Beast when they, like, released it for, like, the New York Critic Association and it was half done?
Mm-hmm.
That's what we saw.
Okay.
Princess and the Frog. Yeah, although they moved up the sort of unannounced announcement where they didn't announce that it was an announcement, but it was it's going to – they moved up the release date to December 11th, I
yes,
believe.
Uh-huh. Yeah. From Christmas
except for
Day.
New York and L.A. is November 24th.
Right.
So that what that tells me is they're very confident in it. Once again, because you don't show it to half – you know, two cities and
right.
Here it stinks.
You show it in the East and West Coast during Thanksgiving weekend, build the buzz, And then you release it nationwide. And you move it up from Christmas when, oh, something's coming out Christmas that it would have gone head-to-head with.
Oh, yes. Alvin and the Chipmunks, the Squeakquel.
Yeah. So now it'll have... But it'll have more time to build its own momentum before another family film comes out. So.
Or Alvin and the Chipmunks. I sadly came home one day and Rebecca was watching that.
And it was
It wasn't that bad.
I want to see the sequel.
Yeah, I do too.
You two have fun.
Okay. We'll take Gideon.
Here's the baby.
We'll take Gideon. We'll blame him.
I'm curious from you, Captain, since you are you really enjoyed Ratatouille and really, really, really enjoyed WALL-E. You saw the up trailer today. Are you excited about it?
Oh, I'm always excited about the Pixar, what they're cooking up.
What they're up to.
Ratatouille and Up had a baby, and it was it was partly cloudy.
That is really disturbing.
Partly Cloudy, the new Pixar short, I believe.
Oh,
yes,
thank you.
New Pixar short.
What about you and Up? Because you're not the biggest Pixar fan in the world.
I'm excited. It looks cute. But I'm more excited about Dick Cook's cameo in Race to Witch Mountain.
Escape to Witch Mountain.
No, it's Race to Witch Mountain.
Yes.
I got it right.
My bad.
I'm so excited about that. Apparently, the director of the film has managed to talk the chief of the Disney Studios into making a cameo as a train conductor, which is so awesome because he operated trains and monorails when he worked at Disneyland, and so
he set one on fire.
It's a great little homage to the roots of Dick Cook.
That is really something to look forward to.
Yeah, I'm totally excited about that. Totally.
That might be like, I mean, seeing Ike was gonna be cool.
Yeah, exactly. And Kim.
But
Ike's in it too.
Yeah.
No, I've just heard Kim was in it.
No, both of them. Both Ike and Kim are in it.
Ike has anything better to do? A celebration.
No,
hasn't
they
got to
ask him. Kim's in the bio. You get the media kit thing. Kim's in there. I don't see any mention. I don't remember seeing Ike in there.
No, okay. He's doing
cameo.
Might
have been listed under Tony.
They're going to be in a cafe.
What's his name, right? Tony, little alien.
Yeah,
boy.
Tony and Tia.
they had a wedding.
That's disgusting.
I guess they're going to be in a cafe scene, and the name of the cafe is actually an homage to the little town that they were originally, Stony Creek, apparently, an homage to the original.
Doesn't the RV make a cameo, too?
I don't know, but I was reading this article. I don't know if you saw it. I linked on it, Laughing Place, where when they asked Dwayne The Rock to be part of it, he knew he was going to be playing the Eddie Albert role, and he was trying to figure out if they were going to make him be old or not. So it's funny to hear him learn about what his role would be and the new vision that they had for where the film would be this time.
The reimagining.
When I was making a connection in either Kansas City, Missouri or Kansas City, Kansas, not quite sure which state the airport's in.
It's like reading your blog.
I saw Dwayne The Rock Johnson, who I believe is now just called... Oh, my arm.
Or out my foot.
Oh, my foot. Yeah, the guy can't.
Yeah, he sprained his ankle, I think, just before filming
He talked about that.
Game plan.
And he was talking about how he was a big fan of the original, but he was like, well, wait a minute, I saw the movie. What? How are you going to do this? And so the director who directed the game plan told him how they were going to do it.
He's also allergic to cinnamon.
Yeah, and that's actually the secret weapon of the movie is cinema. So, and I'm also excited. You know, I wonder if they're going to attach a cool trailer to Race to Witch Mountain.
Ooh.
Maybe like a Christmas Carol.
Ice Age 3.
Oh, no.
You said a cool trailer.
Oh.
Tron 2.0.
Ice Age, every time we see a 3D movie, they have to show Monsters vs. Aliens, Ice Age 3, and Up.
Tron 2.0 is the game, but right. Tron... 2 is like TR2.
Yeah, I know. So I call it 2.0.
I believe they actually just going with... I think they've actually changed that. They're not using the...
Tron.
Did you ever see that? It was Tron, but spelled TR, the letter... I mean, sorry, the number 2, N.
So it's Tron.
What? Take Ron to Narcosis.
So, yeah.
That's what Tron's take Ron out now.
Never
mind. moving on.
So you mentioned you saw The View. Any other things you saw in The View? I know there was a lot.
No,
of...
that was Regis and Kelly. Completely different than The View.
You're telling me. a lot of buzz over the fact that The View were on Disney lot for the week.
Yeah, it was interesting because they do not know how to preserve the magical guest experience. They kept talking how they were trying to get Cinderella to tell them their real name, and Cinderella just kept saying Cinderella, and the ladies of the – basically, you know who should be on the lot? Regis and Kelly. Who shouldn't be on the lot? The View. And I'm a little disappointed because I suffered through 2 hours of The View. They did have – the Jay Leno interview was cool, and they did some neat thing. Like, they had a little thing with Dave Smith. But this – today's episode was the one where they went to archives and talked about D23. And – but today was the episode they were going to talk about D23 and all that and go take a tour of the archives. And I couldn't get ABC.com to play the episode.
But all of these are available on ABC.com, well, so if people miss them.
Theoretically, so. Yes.
In theory.
Now, I did hear that Whoopi Goldberg was really, really fond of The New Small World.
She was trash of The New Small World.
Was she really?
Because they were all talking about what they did, and, you know, Elizabeth's like, oh, I went to an American Idol taping. Oh, and Whoopi Goldberg said she went to Disneyland, and she had her Disneyland sweatshirt on and was very proud of it. Went to go see Golden Dreams and Superstar Limo, I'm sure. And then she talks about going on Small World, and she's like, "If they can add – why are they adding characters? If they can add characters to Small World, they can add the ladies from The View to Small World." So after Small World Holiday next year, there's something new to look forward to.
Do you think she has any idea that both her attractions are closed?
That would involve her going to DCA, didn't it?
Okay.
That's sad. Did she talk about Pete's Dragon? Did I not hear Bob Iger talking about that in the shareholders meeting? Or was it Stephen? Who was it? Who was talking about Whoopi Goldberg and Pete's Dragon? Not another. Maybe I just ripped it. I am a new mom.
I know that they're making a new graphic novel.
Sleep.
And moving on. So what can I find at Disney.com/CR report?
Disney's Corporate Responsibility Report, where you can.
It's basically Disney's environmental.
What Disney does
commitment.
Good, but more than that, it talks about their volunteering effort.
How they give back and make the world a better place.
Right. How they. So it goes under. There's different sections, which I'm surprised they haven't come up with like a cool name for each like. Strategic priority or something.
Hey,
like that.
At least it doesn't have a picture of horse poop.
But yeah.
What was that?
That was the safety report.
It gave us a safety report, and we're flipping through. Fanboy and I were there, and we're flipping through this safety report, and then I get to the last page, and there's this picture of the Main Street. What is that called? The horseless carriage? No, the Main Street.
The horseless carriage.
No, maybe the horse-drawn carriage.
Yes.
And in the foreground is this big steaming pile of manure. And we're like, apparently.
When did we learn that code 10 whatever?
Code H.
Code H, yeah.
What's that stand for?
Horse.
Code horse.
Anyway, moving back to.
I'm sorry. So now anytime I hear about a Disney report, I think about that.
I think of the big crash test dummies, but that's a whole other story.
I could probably provide a link to that report. I bet it's still up.
No, they edited it.
Did they really?
They photoshopped out the poop.
Oh, well,
I checked it every once in a while.
I have the. I still have my original copy.
Good.
Don't worry.
You can sell it at D23. basically, the different areas are children and family, content and products. Those are two areas, not four. Environment, community, workplaces, and looking ahead. I guess looking ahead is probably not an area. So the environment's the one that's getting the most buzz because it's obviously the most quantifiable. But the healthy food initiative goes in here, the volunteering piece, all that.
Apparently, that's working really well. According to the Sentinel, like more than half of the kids now are getting apples instead of fries.
That's sorry to hear.
Yeah, I know. I was sad to hear that too. I was like, oh, bummer.
Gideon, you're getting fried.
But you know what's funny though? It's because I go there and I'm like, oh, the food must be healthy. I can eat twice as much, which is probably not the best thing to do. I look at Doobie asking.
Well, I think that's more than enough about that.
Yeah.
It's been a while since we've had any interaction with our guests because of our break and all the
Our guests?
Our listeners.
Listeners.
I'm sorry.
I don't know. If you want to call them guests, if you want to get in the mood of
I'm
Disney.
I'm an official part of Disney now. I joined D23. I can call them guests.
Did you see the certificate?
No, we haven't seen it yet.
Wait. So you're saying that like when you join, you like own Disney? It's like the annual pass?
Not really, but I can tell that to myself. I know the certificate features many of your favorite Disney characters and many that aren't so familiar.
Right, like...
Michael Eisner.
No.
Let's see if I can...
Fanboy says with disgust, no.
Can you get that bigger?
Gergi's on the certificate, holding up Charter Year right there on the bottom, as long with Madame Mim, Bernard and Bianca, Ka, and Edna Mode, and
Sebastian. All right, we got a question from one of the peeps out there that I thought we should answer as we slowly get back into our
Gladys
regular...
Gladys Knight?
Not one of the peeps. I said peeps.
Peep. He said peep.
Get back into the flow of the interactive portion
of our
show.
Our listeners are made out of marshmallows.
Peep, peep.
Yeah, and they're yellow on the outside, and they
and they
really
explode
bad.
In the microwave.
This is from Bob from Bartlett, Illinois. He writes,
they probably do explode in the microwave.
That's what I'm saying.
He writes a very straightforward. He writes a very straightforward email to us. Cancellation of the Disney Channel games. Tux to Monster Stealth. Discuss.
Thank you. What's your name for SNL?
They canceled the Disney Channel games.
Yes, I'm very sad about that.
But
that
on the plus
saddening.
Side. D23 Expo.
Well, that's what's funny is when you ask, like, do people care about the Disney Channel games? How many 25-year-olds are at the Disney Channel games?
All the ones who have 3-year-old children.
No.
And us.
Yes. Half the cast was there. I want to know, like, what percent, like, is anyone going to be able to work at the park when this expo is going on? Because half the cast is going to call in so they can go to the expo.
I have another Expo question, or a D23 question, but first I want to get anyone who wants to say something about the sad cancellation of the Disney Channel games.
It's sad. There.
I agree with the captain.
It's become a part of that 2 years. Just 2 years.
And it was something special about knowing who won before they aired. Or at least one of the four. We knew the four possibilities.
No, all right. I'm sad because I was kind of hoping, based upon what we'd seen, that it was going to build into something more, like Fan Fest or... you know, ESPN the weekend, but like Disney Channel Stars the weekend or something. And so I'm sad to see it get canceled with no mention of anything else, you know, going on with it. Yeah, I know the Expo will probably feature some of the Disney Channel stars, but...
getting married.
But there's something something very cool about that whole event. And so I'm sad. I understand. They're all getting too big, you know, but...
Doobie, it's a baby.
I'm so confused.
Gideon started making noise.
He's sad about it too. he's not gonna have the chance to see these.
All right,
celebrities playing games.
My other D23 question I forgot to ask earlier.
Yeah.
If there's gonna be advertising on the Disney Channel.
That's it.
I read your mind.
No. Typically, Disney does something that involves separate various portions of the company. You know, one portion charges another portion. Every portion, every business unit or whatever is responsible for kicking in for their part of this whole thing. Is that the way this works? To anyone that may know, is that the way this works? I mean, if theme parks aren't seeing that this is worth it, can they opt out or scale down, or do they have to, or how does that
politically
work?
They have to.
I would think so.
You could say they could scale down or not, but when Bob Iger's walking around, do you want... I mean, that's basically why it could work, is because Bob wants it, and it is something that would be easy to cut if the big man didn't want it.
Okay. Yeah, I had that same idea in mind, but then when I was hearing that Iger, that, you know, it really did come from the top as far as the passion, then that puts a totally different spin on it, because who's going to... People don't tend to go, oh, you know what, hey, boss, I really don't want to do it. You know, it's just not a very common
thing. I don't know if about corporate politics. I mean, you still got to meet your budgets. And
well, I remember when NFFC was working with the company and, you know, Bob for the first time, or Michael, whoever it was, said, you know, you need to be more involved. So, you know, the parks and the studio was easy. And then they're like, okay, so what are we going to do for media networks? And like, I'm like, well, do they have to do something? I'm like, yes, they do. And so they had, you know, and everyone had to.
So it was an interesting thing.
I just had a great thought that changed the whole vision of D23 for me.
What?
Really?
The Muppets will be there.
Yes, they will. They're actually in the video. There's another video that they showed at the annual meeting where it's like a – it's not a sizzle reel as much as like a infomercial, I guess would be the best way. And the Muppets are like, oh, you know, and they had Miss Piggy – let me start over again. They had Miss Piggy going, oh, they're going to salute the most fabulous entertainer in the world, moi. And then they go like, no, it's everyone from Disney. Oh.
Do you know, is ABC included? I mean, like Desperate Housewives?
I don't know about Desperate Housewives.
Yeah,
I wouldn't be surprised to see like Dancing with the Stars or even Lost.
Family. What I would say people would consider family-friendly entertainment, not their more provocative brands like Desperate Housewives or Grey's Anatomy.
Because one thing I remember about ESPN, too, is they're really trying to integrate that more with Disney in regarding Disney XD and even Radio Disney. So they're going to try and make Disney, you know, bring a little bit of Disney, ESPN to Disney. So that works a little bit better, too.
What about Eli Stone?
I think I had a vision about this.
The Golden Retriever from Pushing Daisies.
Aww.
I don't know, but here, you know who's getting married?
Air Bud?
Yes! How did you fuck that out of my mind? I was going to say, the Air Bud's getting married to Chloe from Beverly Hills Chihuahua, but she knew.
I stole it. Sorry.
She's a brilliant woman.
Yeah, I try. But getting back to what you were initially saying, the Muppets, that was one of the neatest presentations that they had at the NFFC recently was mm-hmm. when the Muppets came. Were you able to go to that?
I saw the video.
Okay. Yeah, they had the Muppet operators, because I don't know that I really want to call them puppeteers because it just seems weird since they're Muppets, not puppets. But okay.
I'm pretty sure they're called Muppeteers.
Yeah, I know, but it just seems weird.
Performers.
But
I think like the technical jargon is performers.
The artists formerly known as Muppets.
They offered a panel discussion with like Pepe the King Prawn and the Swedish Chef and various other Muppets that you know are familiar to all of us. But the Muppet operators weren't hidden, and so we were actually able to see how it would work if you were, you know, kind of on stage or on the set. And that was an amazing, you know, experience to actually see kind of behind the magic, as it were. And it was very cool. I enjoyed that.
See how they fit Frank Oz into those little costumes.
Oh, I forgot to mention something about D23. At the shareholder meeting, they gave us away a pin, and it says, "Join the Jamboree," and then on the card, and then the pin says, "Made for You and Me, official launch March 10th, 2009, D23, and has band leader Mickey in sort of a yellow and gold tone. And on the back it says, "The Walt Disney Company 2009 Annual Meeting Exclusive."
Oh, very nice.
And so they were giving these out, and they were handing them to you as you left. And the way I knew that they knew how to take care of fans was they would give you one, and then at the end they would say, like, "Oh, do you guys want some more?" And they made like a bazillion of them, but because they knew there were people leaving with 10, 15 pins.
Oh, cool.
Did you get some for the LPP?
Yeah, what's up with that?
No.
Come on.
Way to grab extras for us there, man.
Why do you guys care about pins?
I like pins.
Yeah. This is like a big debut.
That's right. That's right. We'll remember that.
It's okay. Mm-hmm. Gideon's pin
collection. I took care of the dog while you were having a baby.
Gideon's pin collection won't be quite so big.
And you will thank me.
Captain, say fanboy.
The captain's challenge.
What will you do if a drunken sailor? What would you do if a drunken sailor? What will you do if a drunken sailor early in the morning?
It's early in the morning. Come on, I thought we went over this.
Burl Ives in the morning?
Great-grandmother met great-grandfather when she was a shy young miss. And you mean Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer?
He was a snowman.
Have a holly jolly Christmas.
Wait,
Christmas
he was a snowman?
He played a snowman talking about Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer.
Okay, he didn't play Frosty?
No.
Can you name another snowman?
The guys.
It all comes back to Denny Newell. Okay, Captain.
Yeah. All right.
If you get that, $20.
Yeah, no, dude, that was an obscure reference, and Fanboy and I both went there.
$23, by the way.
Oh, it's been so long, I have to actually, like, figure out what I said last week. Okay, I believe the question was, there's, you know, a little Swiss Chalet-looking thing by, it's a small world here at the Magic Kingdom.
The Sky?
The Skyway station. That is where, you know, that the question was what.
Oh, that was the question. Was the I just
no. The question. That's the answer.
Descriptive.
No, the question was
that garden area in front of the castle.
What is it? What's the little house? What, you know, it used to house a station of an attraction, and it's the Skyway. And so Disney Crusader writes, next to Peter Pan's flight was a station for Skyway to Tomorrowland. Remember going on it in '97? It was cool.
Congratulations, Disney Crusader.
And if you recall, this was a prize captain's challenge.
It was a prize puzzle.
So that means you have to email us at podcast.lovethplace.com so we can get your information, so we can send you the Jeff Lang Which edition?
Close.
I mean, not Jeff Lang.
I confuse
sorry.
Him all the time.
Kevin Yee.
Kevin Yee. 101 Things You Didn't Know About Disney World, second edition, which is really like a whole new book. I highly recommend you buy it, laughandplaystore.com.
There you go. And so.
What do you got this week?
This week, because, you know, all the D23, you know, excitement, and Gideon is very, very excited about this, I'm going to be asking a trivia question about the Alice comedies.
Whoa.
Who played Alice?
Oh, I was gonna
say. I know who played Flo and Mel.
What was her name?
I know.
Vic Tayback was Mel.
So
can't remember Alice.
So there you go.
And she was a star.
Read up and...
Tommy McKeon. No. Somebody McKeon played Tommy. Anyway.
Anyway, post your answer in the laughingplace.com discussion boards.
So who played Alice in the Alice comedies?
Exactly.
Very cool.
Cool. And the first person to answer gets...
Nothing!
Absolutely. A one-year subscription to LPP08.
Oh, wait, not even.
Oh, sorry. I even wrote it down here so I wouldn't screw it up and I messed it up. LPP07, we're waiting for you. The official fan club of the LPP. Anybody got any final thoughts before we close down this incredible D23 edition of the Laughing Place podcast?
Well, there's a merchandise event for D23 this weekend at Disneyland.
It's all D23.
I know, I'm going to be there.
Which I find very funny. I also stumbled upon, because I was finally catching up on upcoming events now that I have recovered from giving birth, that John Lasseter is going to be hosting a winemaker's dinner at DCA during the California Festival.
And you know Disney fans love nothing more than wining with John Lasseter.
And that's going to be...
DCA.
Touche.
And it's going to be in the animation courtyard, which that just seems like a really beautiful location. So.
Did they ever update that with any new films?
Not that I've ever heard.
Have there been any new films worth updating it with?
Pixar stuff.
Oh. Yeah. Ratatouille. Wall-E.
What would be... No, they I thought they updated it at least one time, didn't they? I thought they did.
Not that I'm aware of.
I don't remember them doing so.
You know Image Movers Digital is making a Christmas Carol, right?
Right.
It's like a hot cup of cocoa.
No, that's... never mind. They announced their second film is going to be called...
Yeah, I know. We all have to listen to Fanboy sometimes.
Yeah. Oh, I thought that was Fanboy.
It's going to be called Mars Needs Moms, ironically. Just like Gideon needs her. There's... Aww. And it stars Seth Green from Seth Green fame.
Seth Green, yeah.
Name something that Seth Green was in.
Something, I don't know.
He was in Austin Powers.
Right. He's a creator of some cartoon show.
Robot Chicken.
Beverly Hills 90210?
No, that's...
Brian Austin Green.
Yeah.
So he's in that kind of stuff.
He's really short.
Yeah? Okay, I think
he's Frank a Cox? Voice on Family Guy.
No.
Yeah.
He is?
Mm-hmm.
Are you sure he didn't have a cameo on Family
Guy? No, he's the voice in Family Guy. He's the voice of the son.
Okay.
So anyway, I found that odd, but we'll see. Mars Needs Moms.
All right. Looking forward to it.
No, really?
I'm sure I'm going to have to see it. I'm probably going to get a movie of my choice out of it, so I'm looking forward to it. Okay, well, I think that's our show once again.
Are we still waiting for input on the people's favorite?
We want input on your favorite showstopper song. From Disney.
Oh, favorite show stops. That was partial to the Remember the Magic Parade.
Or did we do that one already?
No, we didn't talk about it. We left everybody hanging.
Yeah, we've got so much to get back to in the coming weeks, and you're not even here next week, right? So we actually have a week hiatus.
Lost, which annoys me.
I can't believe I'm not watching Lost.
There we go. That's my word of wisdom.
So you've got 2 weeks to get in your favorite showstoppers. Anything you want to talk about, check the board.
Except for Portobello Road.
Except for Portobello Road, because that's more than a showstopper.
Because
that's a world stopper.
Then either Fanboy or I will have to play it for Doobie.
I'm pretty sure when Superman saved Lois Lane in Superman 1, it was by playing Portobello Road. That's what made the world stop spinning.
Remember when I explained that to you?
It still doesn't make sense.
Don't start.
How, making the world spin backwards is not going to...
He's not spinning the world backwards. He's going fast enough where he's going backwards in time.
They don't explain that at all in the movie.
He's going so fast that...
By the way, how does going fast...
If you're going really fast, he'd come back and everyone would be old.
That's
relativity.
Right. Anyway, so let us know your showstoppers. Let us know your explanations for Superman 1. Let us know. We did some great, Disney movies. We're going to be doing it soon on Pixar movies. So.
Seriously, the most important thing, I want to know what people say about Superman, because I always thought it was he was going so fast that he went back in time, whereas they're saying that he spun the world the opposite direction.
Neither of which will actually make time go backwards, by the way.
Yeah, but hey, it's a superhero movie.
When you think about it, Captain's makes more sense.
But, you know, I have a question. Then, if you can explain that, can you explain how come no matter what he's lifting, he always has that same look?
Rather, he's picking up a car or the entire North American continent.
He's always very strained, yeah.
Let us know what you think of D23. Let us know whatever you want. Enjoy your week away from us. Once again, we are accepting early subscriptions to LPP 06. Subscriptions are free. Benefits are minimal.
06.
For a year.
07, 06, 08.
We'd also like your suggestions on what year to use to begin this. LPP 99. Podcastlifelinks.com, 866-718-9408. Post on the boards. This has been Roy E. Disney, and you've been listening to the LPP 09. Talk to you later.